Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen, for joining us today. This is Dr. Youngblood. You're tuned in to another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues. We welcome you on board today. In fact, we invite you to join in the dialogue and discussion. You can do that by dialing 401-1413. That telephone number, ladies and gentlemen, gets you right through to the studio, right to our microphone, so that we can have a good discussion or dialogue, if you like, even a good debate on the issues. We'd love to have your participation. So dial 401-1413, 904-401-1413. Ladies and gentlemen, as we face issues, we do so based on the authority of Scripture. It is called the Book of Truth. It is the source of truth. Jesus said to his disciples, "If you continue in my word, you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free." That was Jesus' words to his disciples in John 8:31 and 32. And then Jesus said in John 17:17, "Thy word is truth." So, ladies and gentlemen, as we speak on this broadcast each day, and we do so passionately for the issues that I believe Christians ought to be encouraged in, knowledgeable in, involved in, and we should stand for. We're in a wicked, decaying, darkened society. I don't say that in a negative sense. I say that just speaking truth in love. We need to speak truth regardless of what the world says. We're going to be talking about today the question, is truth missing? Is truth missing? And ladies and gentlemen, we have with us today Brother Don Redmond. Brother Don is the candidate for City Council Group 4 at large, City Councilman. Don, we're delighted to have you with us today as we talk about some of these issues and then get into our dialogue and discussion about your candidacy.
Thank you, Dr. Youngblood. It's a pleasure to be here.
It's a delight to have Brother Don with us, ladies and gentlemen. In a moment, I'll give you a formal introduction for him and his background, a very, very colorful background in relationship to his passion for our city, his involvement for our city, and his civic involvement, his social involvement, his spiritual involvement, and how God's used him in the past and how we're praying that God will use him yet in the future as one of the city leaders. We need men that are Christian men, men that are willing to stand even in the face of opposition and challenge as long as we're standing for truth. And the reason I'm saying that, ladies and gentlemen, as a pre-introduction to what we're going to talk about before getting into our interview with Brother Don today, ladies and gentlemen, we're witnessing what I call the radicals' attempt to literally destroy America, to destroy our constitutional system of governance. The Senate rules are now being trampled, and the rule of law is ignored, and truth is the last thing that the socialist Democrats on the left are interested in. If you don't believe that, just watch the charade, the circus, the absolute sham on what is called law and the process of the confirmation of a U.S. Supreme Court justice and what is happening. We have a dear woman from California, Christine Ford, I believe her name is. But I need to ask some questions, and Don, I want you to follow with me and track with me, because we're going to talk about this in a moment and make it as a transition getting into our discussion about your candidacy for city council. Ladies and gentlemen, just who is this accuser, Christine Blasey, Blasey Ford? Who is she? Just who is this woman? She is a part of Operation Pink. She's a part of the Women's March, the Radical Liberation Group against President Trump. She is a professor with a wonderful score of a 2.4 rating as a college professor. Ladies and gentlemen, if I was a college professor, had only a 2.4 rating, I believe I'd get out of the business. but that's her rating, 2.4. She has posted on her Facebook. By the way, she's been working like a Trojan 24/7, trying to get her Facebook washed. Some of the things she's not been able to take down, but she's trying to hide who she really is. But in 2016, she posted on her Facebook, the Scalia type must be banned from law. She's talking about Supreme Court Justice Judge Scalia, Antonin Scalia. And that's exactly who we need on the court. But she says the Scalia type must be banned from law, not just banned from the courts, but banned from law. Her students say, and this is a telling thing, her students say, don't get on her bad side. Quote, she has a dark, very dark side, and she will come after you if you get on her bad side. Her parents, ladies and gentlemen, had a foreclosure case that Judge Kavanaugh's mother, which was also Judge Kavanaugh, that Judge Brett Kavanaugh's mother ruled on in 1996. There was a piece of property in Potomac, Maryland, that she was ruled on, that the case was ruled on by Judge Kavanaugh's mother. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, this woman's brother is an attorney for Fusion GPS, and it's Fusion GPS that produced the false, phony dossier that was paid for by the Democratic National Convention or committee and the Hillary Clinton candidacy. They paid upward of $1 million for it. Some $10 million in total, I understand, was spent through filtered through the wretched FBI agents that were involved. This dear woman that's accusing Judge Kavanaugh of wrongdoings at the age of 15. She can't even remember the date it took place. She can't remember the place that it took place. She only remembers the sexual encounter, supposedly. And by the way, her best witness that supposedly could verify what she said came forward, you know, a little, just a few days ago, and said that it had taken place in the summer, et cetera, et cetera. But yet that counters what this woman said was the case, because supposedly they were in school and it was a school party that they were having. So there's something wrong someplace with the correlation of facts. And two or three of the ones that have come forward trying to defend her as being witnesses, so-called, have now, for the most part, backpedaled and retracted their position of defending her. Her attorney, Deborah Katz, is part of the George Soros organization that's funding the attempt to destroy America and to remove borders from America and to remove our sovereignty and to attempt to destroy President Trump. Her attorney is a radical anti-Trump, pro-Clinton supporter that supported Clinton and Obama in all of her years in practice of law. Christina Blasey Ford openly hates President Trump, has demonstrated waving signs that reads, and I quote, Trump is not my president. She has admitted to some of her closest friends. In fact, ladies and gentlemen, she admitted to her very best friend, according to the published reports, that she is an alcoholic and has been since her teen years. She has also reportedly said to her close best friend, saying, quote, I wish I had not had so many partners and relationships growing up. She was 15 years old, ladies and gentlemen, supposedly in a bedroom that she does not know where, with four drunk teen boys. And now she says maybe it was just two, but she was certain that Brett Kavanaugh was one of them. Ladies and gentlemen, I want us to understand, ask a question, postulate an answer. If all of this is true, where's the written police report? Where's the police call? Where were her parents when she was drunk in a drunken party? Where did the alcohol come from? Did the parents do anything about it? The parents are culpable in all 50 states if a teenager, underage teen, gets a hold of alcoholic beverages. Where are they? What happened? Now, almost 40 years later, Don, and this is what bothers me, almost 40 years later, 36 plus years, now all of a sudden she has a pristine memory that it had to have been Judge Kavanaugh. And Judge Kavanaugh has gone through six FBI background checks. And now the charade that's taking place in Washington and stating that somehow, some way, the FBI needs to investigate. How are you going to prove a falsehood? He said, she said. It's an impossibility. There's no evidence. There's no police call. There are no eyewitnesses. There's nobody that can validate or corroborate her story. And she knows that. Ladies and gentlemen, it's a fraud that's perpetrated on the system to prevent Judge Kavanaugh from being confirmed as Supreme Court Justice. Every Christian, every moral, ethical human being listening to my voice needs to sound the alarm, call your senator, demand. Ladies and gentlemen, I sent an email day before yesterday to every one of the senators on the confirmation committee demanding, I did it benevolently, but demanding that they bring a vote and allow Judge Kavanaugh to be confirmed and seated on the Supreme Court when they open the session in October. Ladies and gentlemen, so here's the picture. We have a family that's wanted to get revenge. There's a dark side that is very dark and dangerous to this woman. There's a contempt for Congress. There's a contempt for conservatives. There's a contempt for the so-called rule of law or the facts. There's a total contempt for what is called truth. Ladies and gentlemen, let me reintroduce our guest today. And I have set the stage for where I want to go in my dialogue and discussion with Brother Don Redmond. Don is a former city councilman. Don has been in private small business for some 42 plus years. He helps with over 12 charity events annually. He is a U.S. Navy veteran, 4 years of active duty and 2 years of reserve. He's a member of the Vietnam Veterans of America, a former city council member for 8 years in District 4. He is the chairman of the Area School Advisory Committee for over 20-plus years. Brother Dunn is the former chair and current member of the Full Service School Resources Center Oversight Committee. He's on the Mayor's Fitness and Well-Being Committee, 18-plus years. He's part of the Youth Crisis Center, Safe Place Partners for many, many years. Ladies and gentlemen, I don't know of any better credentials than that for Brother Dunn to be running for City Council Group 4 at large. By the way, ladies and gentlemen, a group at large council member literally is running the race to be elected citywide, not just in a particular district, but citywide. As someone said, it's like running for mayor, but with a whole lot less pay for the position. Ladies and gentlemen, I don't mind forthrightly saying I covet your vote for Don Redmond. Now, I understand that this is a little preliminary prior to the primary for the city council race, which will be in March of next year, March of 2019. But we're setting the stage. We don't mind saying we want you to know in advance, many, many months in advance, where Don stands. I want you to be able to call today, ladies and gentlemen, and ask questions to Don Redmond about what he's doing, what he has done, what he intends to do. You can dial 401-1413. Love to have you join in the dialogue and discussion today. Brother Don, you've heard my monologue about the condition in Washington. You've heard what's been said about this woman and her background. And Don, I believe it's just the tip of the iceberg. I believe that monologue and my summary of her background and what she's doing, I believe it's simply a little small smattering of what the real truth is about this individual and about how she is being used as a pawn and the tip of the spear to try to destroy the candidate, the nominee, as a conservative for the Supreme Court justice. How do you respond to what I've said? What do you say to our listeners about how you perceive this shenanigans charade in Washington? What do you feel is wrong with that picture?
Well, like you said, truth. I mean, truth, there's so much hatred here from the liberal side, from this lady. I mean, she has so much hatred for Donald Trump, for conservatism, that truth is not in her vocabulary. They will do anything to destroy the other side, to destroy the they'll sell their soul. They are selling their soul to try to destroy a good man that's willing to serve this country on the Supreme Court. A great man. He passed all kinds of FBI investigations. They've done several background checks on the man.
Six of them in the past 12
years. Six of them, yes. The man, you won't find anybody any better. And they know that. They know he's going to pass. They're stalling for time, and they'll lie. That word truth is not in them
not
when
in
it
them.
Comes to making a decision for our country.
Absolutely.
They're not concerned for our country. They will let the country go down before they would give in and allow things to be done properly. Allow Donald Trump to put the man that has been chosen by him, anybody, and they've said that, anybody that is chosen by Donald Trump, they will not vote for.
Oh, prior to all of the hearings even starting.
It's a set-up deal.
Yes.
So
prior to the hearings being started,
if Republicans,
as you know, they said they were going to vote no on anybody he chose from that list.
That's right. So if Republicans don't stick together and don't do the right thing, if they sell their soul down the road on this deal and any other deal, we need to keep that in mind when it comes time for election.
Absolutely.
So I think that some of them are going to suffer the consequences by giving in so easily to some of the requests that this lady is giving. They're asking for, her attorney is asking for. I don't agree with the giving in to every. I've been a fighter all my life. For what is right, for what is best for
standing
our country,
for truth.
What is best for our city. We've given in. The city council that is there right now gave in on some issues that I was dead set against when I was on the city council. And we fought and won the battle on the HRO amendment that was passed by this current city council. And, you know, these are just things that if we don't put the right people in office, we're going to suffer the consequences, which is not good. So, you know, as you listen to all this garbage on TV and about on the radio about this possible justice or probable justice of the Supreme Court, just realize that he's a godly man. And I think he, you know, Donald Trump is looking at people that will fit the bill for what Christians really need to stand for. And
he's
as a Christian,
people that
we
have credentials and qualifications and stand for the Constitution.
Right, the Constitution. I mean, people forget about the Constitution.
Yes.
We just had the celebration for Constitution Day, and most people didn't even know that there was such a day.
That's right.
I talked to very few people that realized it had come and gone.
Mm-hmm.
But
one of the things that I see, Brother Don, ladies and gentlemen, we're talking with Don Redman. He's the city council candidate for Group 4 at large for city council. I want you to remember that name, and I can tuck this in at this point. Before the show is over today, we're going to tell you how to get in touch with Don. We're going to ask you to vote for Don. We're going to ask you to assist him in getting signs out, ask you to assist him in calling and reaching and canvassing. We're going to ask you to assist him in having a victory in the election for city council next May, that he can be our next city council member. Brother Don, as we look at what's happening in Washington with this charade in the attempt to seat Supreme Court Justice Judge Kavanaugh, I look at that as the bigger picture, but yet a microcosm of that is right here in Duval County in Jacksonville, Florida. We have all kinds of charades going on, ladies and gentlemen, in relationship to truth, in relationship to running our governance, our city council members. Don, recently there's been a federal court ruling in the state of Florida that our election process, we need to set up polling places, voting places on campuses of colleges. Now, that first came to light several of the counties in Central Florida and South Florida immediately set up college campuses. That had not been done until very, very recently here in Duval County. Mike Hogan, the one that's responsible for our election process, then as a result of Garrett Dennis pushing and prodding and badgering, now we have agreed, I understand, through Mike Hogan's office, agreed to set up early voting even for our voting for November the 6th, even set up early voting on these college campuses, especially Edward Waters and UNF. Tell me, is that a good decision or a bad decision, and why?
Well, Brother Gene, I think it's a very poor decision. Mike stood his ground on the primary election and did not give in to this. But now for the general election in November, he has decided to allow this to happen.
What are the potentials with that? What could go wrong?
Well, it allows more opportunity for fraud. You take college students that have a lot of spare time on their hands. It's amazing what they can figure out and ways they can figure out to get another vote in there. Now, this, you know, which is not a it's not a good thing. College students don't have a bit of problem finding their way to McDonald's or wherever they might want to go throughout the city of Jacksonville. To say that they are not able to vote because they might have to go a quarter of a mile to a precinct or to a library to vote, it is a farce. It's not true. So, you know, it's a waste of taxpayers' money. We're going to have to spend extra money to man those voting places the machines that would have to be there to do this. So it's an extra expense for the taxpayer. It's not necessary for students that manage to get everywhere they need to go for whatever else they want to do, but need a special right and a special, you know, it's another one of those things where special rights for special people. Gene and I was talking about this earlier. You're going to put them in nursing homes? We have people in nursing homes that cannot get out to go vote.
Yeah, that's the whole point.
That would be
where do we stop with this special interest group?
Yeah.
The premise is, and them doing this, and the premise before the judge that ruled, by the way, it was an Obama appointee judge, so what can we expect different? But the premise was that it's suppression of votes if we don't have the precincts there on the campuses, and yet as you just stated, they can get any place in the city they want to go otherwise. And if we're going, ladies and gentlemen, if we're going to have special exception precincts for college campuses, and then what are we going to? We need to put precincts in nursing homes. We need to put precincts in the homeless shelters. We need to put a voting precinct in the veterans hospital, the veterans shelter, meeting places. Where do we stop with the special interest groups? Where we're going to appease them and accommodate them? Where the general average citizen? Let's say you've got a 90-year-old person that wants to go vote. You don't find any speaking about, let's have a special precinct down at the end of the old folks' home block so that they can go vote. It is a charade.
That's right. I mean, our homeless shelters take in a lot of people. And,
yes. Let's set up a precinct there.
We're going to put one in every homeless shelter?
Yes.
I think this is just a catering to a minority group of people that have every opportunity in the world to vote, such as every other person that works out here in the neighborhood, in the community. I mean, you have thousands of people that are working in buildings that manage to get to the library for early voting or manage to get to a voting precinct on election day. So to give a special right to a small group of people is a waste of taxpayers' money.
Absolutely. But ladies and gentlemen, we're interviewing today Don Redmond, candidate for City Council Election Group 4. And literally what we're talking about then, Don, is people need to understand that you're a conservative, unapologetically a conservative. There are a lot of people that say I'm a fiscal conservative, and they're talking about budget, et cetera, et cetera. That's good. But we need moral, ethical conservatives in city council.
You got to be socially conservative as well as physically conservative.
Or you're not a conservative.
Or you're not conservative. That's right.
That's exactly right.
And the sad thing is, I'm afraid we have a lot of people that are registered Republicans that I'm conservative. I believe in saving the taxpayers' money, but as far as their social voting, they have no religious or spiritual or
no foundation to base their decision
to how they're going to vote on the social issues.
And that's exactly what happened, as you know, in 2016 with the referendum for pot in the state of Florida, where 71% of the Floridians voted for it. And so that tells me that a lot of so-called conservatives, a lot of so-called Republicans, which are Republicans in name only, had to vote for. That brings me to a thought, Don. Let me ask you this. You realize, and our listeners, I'm sure, realize, some may not, that we've now developed pot shops on just about every street corner in the state of Florida, and it's on the premise of medical marijuana. And yet city council, in my most humble opinion, were not cognizant of what was going to take place, and they did not legislate properly that allows these pot shops now to be erected on so many street corners and more to come. And as a result of that, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to find the horrors in Duval County and city of Jacksonville, just as is found in Colorado and several of the major cities there, as a result of marijuana. Next spring, our legislators in Tallahassee are going to be faced with the decision making. There's already a couple of lawsuits been filed where they're insisting that the legislators allow medical marijuana to be puffed rather than just ingested. And ladies and gentlemen, if that passes, if they modulate that law, that means medical marijuana will simply, by way of the tweaking of the law, become recreational marijuana. And Don, I believe city council is our first line of defense in Duval County. How do you stand on that? What would you do in relationship to that to protect our city? Are you for these pot shops? Are you against that? How do we stand on that? Tell our listeners.
Well, I think I'm against the pot shops. I think it is a slippery slide that we are headed down, leading into like what they have in Denver, Colorado. And I've seen videos on the situation there where they have pot shops on every corner, and people just are deteriorating because of the way of life that this is creating. But I was driving in Jacksonville just the other day in a small shopping center, and I saw a church in this shopping center there where they have church there. I turned the corner and went around the 100 feet, less than 100 feet away, and it was a medical marijuana
pot
sale shop.
Shop.
A pot shop. I said, wait a minute. You know, we have ordinances that they're not supposed to put these within a certain distance of churches or schools. But I served 7 years on the Land Use and Zoning Committee, and I know how this works. And they're getting variances to if nobody shows up to complain, or even if they do sometimes, if you get a lobbyist that is strong enough and pushes hard enough and puts enough money into somebody's campaign to get them to vote the way they want to. We did the same. We do the same things with alcohol close to churches. You know, they change the law. City council can change any law that they can pass. And this is what happens. They give a variance to every, you know, not everyone, but unless the people in the community stand up and fight it against it, it passes. Somebody asks for variance, they get it.
They get it. So, one of the things, Don, you touched on that about changing the law, city council having the ability to change any law that they passed. You know, when the shooting took place, and it was a horrific crime in the Landing several weeks ago, where it wasn't even a shooting brought on by locals. It was those that were out of state for some kind of video competition. And immediately before finding out the facts of it, Councilman Dennis Garrett was telling Channel 4 News at 3:45 p.m. on Sunday afternoon. It took place about 1:15 on Sunday afternoon. And 2 hours later, he was interviewed with Channel 4, and he told them that it's as a result of some of these in Jacksonville that have no jobs and they have no proper funding and help, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. They're going to get mad and go out and shoot people. And then he makes a transition to that the city council might have to do something to limit the guns in Duval County. We got about a minute and a half left. Don't take all of that. But tell us your stand on that, because that's surely going to come up in the next cycle of city council being seated.
Yeah, well, the bad guys are going to have their guns. And, if we don't allow people, honest people, to have a carrying permit and the ability to have a gun, crime is going to be worse than what it is. We do need to educate people on the fact that they need to control their guns. I mean, most of the guns that are used, or a lot of the guns that are used out here on the street, are stolen. Probably most of them. And this,
right, according
this
to the police
is a
report,
dangerous
just,
situation.
One day last week, so far this year, 340-some-odd weapons have been stolen out of automobiles that were unlocked. And so, therefore, they're on the streets.
That's right.
Don, we've got about a minute left. Tell our people, our listeners today, how they can reach you, what you need them to do, how they can help you be elected City Council Group 4 with the primary on March of 2019. What can you do? What can our listeners do to see that you are seated as a City Councilman next year?
Well, you can find out more about me by going on my website, voteforDonRedmond.com, or you can email me at DonRedmond@att.net. My phone number, 904-626-9307. Feel free to call me. But I need people that, as we get closer to the race, like Brother Gene said, it's in March. We got to get past the general election for the state election in November, and then I will be out campaigning hot and heavy. But I need people that will help me. I need people that will. I'm qualifying by getting signatures on petitions. I have a shop. I'm a barber. I cut hair for a living. I have a barber shop on Belfort Road, 2760 Belfort Road. Come by and see me. Love to talk to you. Answer any questions you might have. Sign a petition for me, and
they can drop by and visit, get a haircut, and sign a petition at the same time, can't they?
Yeah.
What is that telephone number again, Don?
904-626-9307.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're saying vote Don Redmond, Group 4, City Council, March of next year. And in the meantime, help him get on the ballot by signing the petition. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us today. Looking forward to meeting you on the air even tomorrow as once again we face the issues.
You have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, located just 1 mile south of I-295. You are invited to worship with them 9:30 a.m. Sunday for Bible study, 10:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship service, 7 p.m. Sunday evening worship service, or 7 p.m. Wednesday fellowship meal Bible study, prayer, Bible Q&A, and updates on issues facing our city, state, and country. Tune in again for another Let's Face the Issues broadcast. Also tune in this same station Saturday mornings at 9 for expository Bible preaching by Dr. Youngblood. Remember, a rebroadcast of this program can be heard every evening, 9 p.m. on AM 1600 and 100.3 FM. Tune in and invite others to listen.